Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Happening now, new cell phone video shows the Buffalo shooting suspect being apprehended by police. CNN just obtained photos of the two rifles he allegedly took to the scene of the racist massacre. Officials are now revealing chilling new details of his planning, saying he intended to continue his rampage. Also tonight, Ukrainian forces are claiming major gains on the battlefield amid significant Russian losses. This as the Putin regime is lashing out over Sweden joining Finland in seeking NATO membership. The Kremlin is now threatening to retaliate. And there is a significant new development impacting the nationwide shortage of infant formula. A deal has just been reached to reopen a plant that was shut down because of a recall. How soon will desperately needed nourishment for America's babies be back on store shelves? We want to welcome our viewers here in the United States and around the world. I'm Wolf Blitzer. You're in the Situation Room. We begin with new evidence that the Buffalo shooting suspect was plotting a racially motivated slaughter for months, visiting the city back in March and potentially looking to attack a second store. CNN's Brian Todd is on the scene for us following all the new developments tonight.
This was a straight up hate crime, pure evil.
Tonight, police revealing details about the meticulous planning that went into the massacre of 10 people at a Buffalo store and how it could have been worse.
He had plans, had he gotten out of here, to continue his rampage and continue shooting people. He'd even spoken about possibly going to another store.
18-year-old Peyton Gendron is accused of murdering several people in the parking lot. He exchanged gunfire with a security guard and shot more people in the store before surrendering to police.
He was very heavily armed. He had tactical gear. He had a tactical helmet on. He had a camera that he was live streaming what he was doing.
CNN obtained a 180-page statement attributed to the suspect, which was posted online just before the attack. The document's author says he was inspired after seeing a clip of another racially motivated attack in New Zealand in 2019, where a gunman live-streamed his murder of 51 people at two mosques. The document details how the shooter has been radicalized by online message boards, describing the Great Replacement Theory, which suggests the false belief that the white race is dying out.
He had the N-word, which unfortunately was carved into one of his weapons. Clearly, he was bent on hate.
CNN has obtained a photo of two other rifles the gunman brought to the scene that have writing on them, including the phrase, "White Lives Matter." The shooter allegedly wrote he'd chosen the Buffalo store based on the racial makeup of its zip code, and he had been serious about carrying out the attack since January.
The individual was here a few months ago, back in early March.
He'd been buying ammo, surplus military gear, and shooting irregularly, and had mapped out the store, intending to shoot all black people. The main gun, a Bushmaster XM15, was bought from this gun store before he illegally modified it. But according to the New York Times, he had no problem purchasing the weapon even after an incident at the Susquehanna Valley High School last June, when he was a student there. On the honor roll, school documents show.
The gun dealer was able to sell these weapons to this individual because there were no red flags that came up.
A spokesperson for the school district tells CNN the suspect was interviewed by police after he made an ominous reference to murder-suicide in a school project, although there was no specific threat.
He stated a facility, I'm not sure if it was a hospital or a mental health facility, for a day and a half.
The gunman's neighbors we spoke to didn't want to give their names. They are frustrated.
Something got missed. You know, if he was flagged in high school, why didn't he get the mental health care he needed then? And the system failed him that caused this tragedy to occur.
They say the shooter was quiet and seemed like a normal teenager.
Then when I found out he was from Conway, I says, I sure as hell hope he isn't from Conklin. So, and then it turns out he was. And then it turns out he's loose on my street. So we were all totally shocked about this whole thing.
The suspect is currently in custody and on suicide watch.
He's in a segregated unit, aside from the rest of the general population, and that's for his safety.
The suspect has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder. Law enforcement officials say prosecutors are working to bring possible federal charges against him in addition to the state charges. Officials also say that the suspect's attorney has withdrawn a request for a mental health forensic examination to be performed on him. Wolf?
Brian Todd reporting for us. Brian, thank you very much. Let's discuss what's going on with Buffalo's Mayor Byron Brown. Mayor Brown, thank you so much for joining us. As you know, Buffalo's my hometown. I grew up in that city. I love that city very much. So this racist, hateful shooting is especially painful for those of us who are from Buffalo. How is your community, first of all, doing right now? Should Buffalonians of color feel safe tonight?
People are in a lot of pain. People are hurting in the city of Buffalo. People are grieving in Buffalo. And we are a strong community, Wolf, as you know. We are a loving community known nationally and internationally as the city of good neighbors. We will get through this horror. We will not let a lone racist gunman define the city of Buffalo. People in this community should feel safe. We have a very strong law enforcement partnership, and law enforcement at every level has been working around the clock seamlessly since this incident on Saturday afternoon. So at the federal level, at the state level, the Buffalo Police, the Erie County Sheriff's Office, all working together in unison to look at every detail of this crime in the city of Buffalo. We have beefed up the work of our police department to make sure that neighborhoods throughout our city are safe.
I hope so. Just a little while ago, I know you announced that arrests have been made in connection to various social media posts and possible additional threats out there. What more can you tell us about that, Mayor?
There have been some concerning social media posts that are threatening in nature. Federal, state, and local law enforcement made it clear that those social media posts will be taken very seriously. Any kind of attempted copycat activity will be taken very seriously. And already yesterday, one person was arrested for posts and calls that were made to businesses that were threatening in nature. So we're going to send a very clear message that games will not be tolerated, copycat activity will not be tolerated, and social media will be very carefully monitored.
Yeah, that's what I worry about, these copycats out there, and I know you do as well. As you also know, Mayor, the far-right public figures who have been promoting this extremist, this racist, so-called white replacement theory, which the alleged killer repeatedly referenced in that document that he posted. Do you believe they are complicit, these public figures are complicit in these murders?
These public figures are absolutely complicit. They trade in hate speech. They propagate hate speech. They try to proliferate hate speech and indoctrinate people in the community in these misguided theories, this misinformation. Yes, they are partially to blame for the radicalization of people in this country and indoctrinating them into attitudes and feelings of hatred toward others.
I'm really pleased that President Biden will be visiting my hometown of Buffalo tomorrow. You'll meet with him, of course. So what will be your message to the President of the United States?
I will talk to the President about the availability of guns. Guns are far too easy to obtain in the United States of America. We've seen far too many mass shootings in this country. This doesn't happen in other countries across the world. We have to do more to control, sensibly control guns in this country. I'll be talking to the president about hate speech by public figures, hate speech on social media, and what can be done to address that. Also, mental health. We need to make sure that there are more resources for mental health throughout the country. And I will also be talking, finally, about economic development, more resources in urban communities for business development and job creation for the residents living in inner city communities like Buffalo all across the country.
Mayor Brown, please pass along my love to all my fellow Buffalonians. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you. Good luck to everyone in Buffalo.
Thank you very much, Will.
I want to dig deeper into the motive for this massacre with the former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. He's a CNN senior law enforcement analyst. And Derek Johnson is the president and CEO of the NAACP. Andrew, first to you, as you can see in this photo, and we'll put it up, there it is. The suspect covered weapons in his arsenal in writing, including the phrase "White Lives Matter" and other notations reflecting his racist beliefs. What does that tell you?
Well, Wolf, it tells us that the motive behind this attack was absolutely clear. This is a person who was radicalized online by his own admission. It is motivated by a deep and abiding hatred of Black people. And it's just the latest in a series of racially motivated mass shootings that we have to endure in this country. There's no question that this individual was motivated by the Christchurch shooter, also a racist attack in New Zealand in 2019. And that event served as the motivating driver, the inspirational driver for the El Paso anti-immigrant shooter in 2020. So you can see, Wolf, how these things are all connected by a shared grievance and a shared hatred for Black people, for immigrants, in some cases for Jewish people, anti-Semitism. It is a very strong theme that runs through these incredibly violent events in our country.
Yeah, it's what they call that great replacement theory. They don't want white people to be replaced by others, whether they're Blacks, Asians, Hispanic, or Jews. We all remember in Charlottesville, some of those racists were screaming, "Jews will not replace us." You know, Derek, the mayor of Buffalo just told me that public officials pushing this white replacement theory are complicit in these murders. Do you agree with him?
Oh, absolutely. Not only public officials, social media platforms that refuse to remove these groups off of their platforms, Fox News that continuously promote divisive language that turns to hate speech, which actually turns to actions, whether is what took place in the Bay Area with the Boogaloo Boys killing a federal official January 6th, El Paso that was mentioned, the Kroger in Louisville, Kentucky, the synagogue in Pittsburgh, what took place in Wisconsin. All of these things are a matter of national security now, in my opinion. This is a domestic terrorism, and it should be treated as such. African-Americans, in our experience, we know what happens when you allow domestic terrorists to go unaccountable for their actions. You are guaranteed more actions of domestic terror. That's in our experience. We see it all through the 30s through the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And we are witnessing that now, Wolf, with all of these incidents that are similar. It's coming from the same set of rhetoric. And we must stop repeating the rhetoric because it's nothing more than red meat for a conservative base trying to score political points.
Derek Johnson, Andrew McCabe, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I wish we were meeting on a different subject. It's so painful to see what's going on right now. Just ahead, Ukraine claims major new gains amid significant Russian losses. As much as one-third of Moscow's combat forces in the country, according to British military officials. We're going there live when we come back. Tonight, Ukraine says it's making major new gains against the invading Russian forces and that Vladimir Putin's troops are suffering significant losses. And Ukrainian forces say they've reached the Russian border near Kharkiv. CNN senior international correspondent Sam Kiley is on the ground for us in eastern Ukraine, where he rode along with secret police as they captured a man spying for Russia. Here's his exclusive report.
This is the former headquarters of the SBU. That's the secret police, effectively, of Ukraine. Now, it was hit right at the beginning of the war with an airstrike. Clearly, from the Russian perspective, this is an immediate necessity to knock out the SBU's capacity here in Kramatorsk, because it is from this location that the counterintelligence operation would have been run.
We've been working on him for about 4 days. We have a complete picture of his actions, says Serhei. This is Ukraine's most secretive force, the equivalent of the FBI, and then some. Serhei says, we have identified a person who, according to our intelligence, is committing a crime. Simply put, this is a person who transmits to the Russian side, the Russian military, information about the locations of our units. Their snatch team with orders to grab an alleged Russian spy. The SBU says that spies feed a stream of information on troop movements and details of targets to Russia's aircraft and artillery. In this region, the SBU says it catches one or two agents run by Russia every day. And today's suspect is being watched. He's ours. There he goes, having a smoke. All units, green pants, black sweatshirt, 1,000. Special forces sweep in. Resistance pointless. Two Ukrainians are asked to witness the interrogation. With our camera present, protocols are followed to the letter. He's told why he's arrested for high treason during martial law and confesses on the spot to spying. He says that he was allegedly recruited online, gets orders via a messaging app from someone called Nikolai. The suspect says that he got about $10 for his alleged spying, which included the locations of Ukrainian military units in the town. According to an alleged exchange between him and his handler, the suspect was arrested mid-mission.
Добрий день, Геннадій. Ти вчора хорошо поработав. Сьогодні необхідна та ж інформація. Фото, відео, геодані воєнних на цнілі. Скільки потрібно часу для отримання інформації?
Ну от я йшов.
Якраз це ви йшли, да, да, посмотрети цю інформацію. Поняв, прийняв, відпишусь. Півтора-два часа. Це було, виходить, сьогодні, да, в 11:29.
Ну, приблизно, да. Времени смотри.
There's no death penalty for traitors here. But as he's driven through these gates, he'll know that if tried and convicted, he could spend a lifetime behind bars. Serhii's hometown is under constant Russian bombardment. So for him, this is no small victory. Russia's hitting us with missiles, rockets, and air raids. These missiles hit the coordinates, which are transmitted by these criminals. People die in these attacks, soldiers and civilians. But, he adds, the more atrocities the Russians commit, the harder it's getting for the Kremlin to recruit local spies.
Now, Wolf, arguably those atrocities, aside from what we've seen on the outskirts of Kyiv, have been most graphically illustrated by the appalling bombardment of Mariupol, which has been continuing apace. But glimmers of good news for the small number of, relatively small number of troops still left fighting and holding out against the Russian onslaught, with Ukrainian government officials saying that just around 260 wounded and other soldiers have been able to be evacuated from the Azovstal plant in Mariupol, that holdout area. It's a very complex story, but we understand that some of them, according to Ukrainian officials, may have already been able to cross into Ukrainian lines as part of a prisoner exchange arranged with the Russians. Wolf?
Sam Kiley on the scene for us. Excellent report. Thank you very, very much. Coming up, grief-stricken relatives recall the loved ones taken from them in the hate-fueled mass shootings in Buffalo. We'll also get the latest on the investigation from the county sheriff. He's standing by to join us live. We'll be right back. Right now, investigators are revealing new details of the planning behind the racist massacre that left 10 wonderful people dead inside a Buffalo grocery store. And they say the shooter intended to continue his rampage, possibly at another large store. Tonight, we're also learning more about the 10 victims. Here's CNN national correspondent Bryn Gingras.
Families overcome with emotion.
We're not just hurting. We're angry. Yeah. We're mad. This shouldn't have happened.
Trying to process the unexplainable killing of their loved ones gunned down at a Buffalo grocery store this weekend.
She was an 86-year-old powerhouse.
Ruth Whitfield, the oldest of the victims, is the mother of Buffalo's former fire commissioner, killed shortly after visiting her husband of 68 years in a nursing home.
There's nothing to take away the pain, take away the hole in our hearts, because part of us is gone, senselessly taken from us by hate.
Former police lieutenant Aaron Salter works security at the top store in his retirement. His last heroic act, exchanging gunfire with a shooter and likely saving lives.
He was beloved by the community.
A community and a clergy now missing Hayward Patterson.
This is too much for my heart.
He was killed in the parking lot, never making it into the store where his friends say he would often bring parishioners who needed to buy food.
Deacon Patterson was the ones that transported them back and forth to their home so they can continue to survive.
Pearl Young, also a woman of faith, attended a prayer breakfast hours before the shooting.
For over 25 years, she was running a food pantry, giving and helping and being faithful to her church. She was a saint.
Catherine Massey, who at 72 years old, was known as someone who stood up for equality.
She was just a go-getter.
Friends say she worked to make a difference through her actions and her words. As a writer, she penned a letter to the editor about gun violence just last year. Margus Morrison died while buying snacks for his weekly movie night. Andre McNeil was picking up cupcakes for his grandson's birthday. Celestine Cheney, a breast cancer survivor who planned to belatedly celebrate Mother's Day with family this weekend. Roberta Drury, the youngest victim who died, dedicated her time to helping her brother fight leukemia. And Geraldine Talley was grocery shopping for a party with her fiancé, who survived.
She didn't get a chance to think, blink, nothing. This is just devastating. All the family that lost.
Three others are recovering from the attack. 10 lives tragically lost in just minutes by a person authorities say was fueled by hate. Bryn Gingras, CNN, New York.
My heart goes out to all of those families. My deepest, deepest condolences to the families and to those who were murdered. May they rest in peace and may their memories be a blessing. Let's discuss the late-breaking developments. The Erie County Sheriff, John Garcia, is joining us right now. Sheriff Garcia, what can you tell us, first of all, about these copycat threats coming in since the massacre? Do the people of Buffalo need to worry about another attack?
Well, Wolf, I think what we're getting now, we're getting people that are these keyboard warriors that are sending out messages on social media. My message to them is we have a lot of empty beds at the Erie County Holding Center where they could be spending the next week. We had a gentleman who made some threats of causing some carnage at a local pizzeria. He's under arrest. And we also had a gentleman who's mentally ill that has been taken to the Erie County Medical Center.
Have investigators, Sheriff, been able to speak with the suspect's family yet?
The suspect's family have spoken to authorities. They're in Conklin, New York, in Broome County, and they are distraught. They are sickened by what happened. I just wonder, how is it that they didn't know what, you know, their son leaves in the middle of the day and comes up to Buffalo 3.5 hours away. And he had a history of some mental illness, and I just wonder how is it that they didn't call the authorities to let us know that, you know, he had left with the weapons and left for the day.
So is there any evidence so far, Sheriff, that other people actually helped this horrible suspect carry out this attack?
It appears that he acted a lone wolf, but he did have two other rifles. He had a shotgun and a 30-06 in his vehicle. So if he wouldn't have been stopped, first by the courageous act of retired officer Aaron Salter that engaged and confronted this individual, and if it wasn't for the plate in his bulletproof vest, Aaron Salter would have been able to take him down. And then the Buffalo police officers that responded within a minute and confronted him, and he gave up. And I'm very thankful that he didn't engage with an assault rifle upon two police officers that, you know, responded with 9mm. So, but he planned on continuing this carnage.
So what can you tell us about other attacks the suspect was allegedly planning to carry out if he had been able to continue his rampage?
Well, you know, we don't want to put that out that yet because, as the district attorney has said, you know, this is an ongoing investigation. But I could tell you this. He was not going to be finished with killing as many blacks as possible at the Tops Friendly Markets across the street from me. He was going to continue down Jefferson Avenue, and he had some other target locations, as they say, soft target locations, meaning commercial areas with people that wouldn't be armed.
The Erie County Sheriff John Garcia. Sheriff Garcia, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for all your important work. And once again, my heart goes out to all my fellow Buffalonians. A horrible, horrible situation indeed. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you, Wolf, very much. And you know this is not the Buffalo that we know.
No,
it's a city of good neighbors.
Buffalo is a welcoming city that loves to bring people in. My family, your family, they were welcomed. They came to Buffalo and Erie County and had a wonderful, wonderful life. And we're grateful to all the people of Buffalo. Thank you so much, Sheriff, for joining us.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless you. Just ahead, we're going to get the latest on the first war crimes trial of a Russian soldier in Ukraine. We'll talk one-on-one with the country's top prosecutor when we come back. The first war crimes trial of a Russian soldier is now underway in Ukraine. And as new atrocities are revealed almost daily, there could be thousands more to come. And joining us now, the Prosecutor General of Ukraine, Irina Venediktova. Irina, thank you so much for joining us. As you well know, and you know this a lot more intensely than I do, one Russian suspect, is already now on trial in Ukraine. So far, you've been able to identify, we're told, about 40 suspects out of the 11,000 potential war crimes you're investigating. How will you be able to track down every suspect and ensure they also face justice?
Dear Wolf, thank you very much that you are having me. I understand that it's very important for us, for Ukrainians, to speak from your platform about what is going on. Yes, actually, we have more than 11,200 cases. Tomorrow will be extra 100 or 200 cases again. And we understand that it's not so easy, not so simple to do investigations in Ukraine when we are still under shelling, bombing, and so on. But for us, very important. Not only to stop this war, but to punish all people who are responsible about crime of aggression here in Ukraine, about all war crimes which they have done here. You mentioned first trial for Russian soldier, his sergeant, who killed civilians, 62 years old man who just walked with his bicycle and spoke by phone. By phone, he killed him near his house, only several meters before his house. And actually, tomorrow we started preliminary hearings with other two Russian soldiers who are physically here in Ukraine. They have done artillery shelling in Kharkiv for civilian infrastructure, for civilian houses. And we started to prosecute them, too.
As you know, Irina, President Zelensky says Ukraine is uncovering atrocities just like the the brutal ones we saw in Bucha, for example, wherever Russian soldiers leave an area. As Ukrainian forces push the Russians out of the major northern city of Kharkiv, for example, what new evidence of war crimes are you seeing?
You know, we have so huge massive of evidences now that for us very important to collect them right and to save them right. Now we see again and again new evidences of using prohibited weapons here on the territory of Ukraine. We see new and new victims of, for example, raping, sexual crimes. And we understand that, unfortunately, we will see it again and again, because more than 4,000 civilians who died during this period of war. But these figures are not correct. For today, for this morning, we have 229 dead children, but these figures are not correct because, again, Mariupol in Donetsk region, we don't know specific figures of these kids. That's why we will see more and more interceptions, we will see more and more pieces of projectiles inside the bodies of our people. We see more and more dead people, dead civilians, and witnesses of these crimes. Unfortunately, we will have a long process in the future, but for us, very important that we started these proceedings now, and we are in the court with specific war criminals, and we are ready to prosecute them absolutely open. We are open to all journalists in the whole world. We try to do our job absolutely professional and objective. Today we have the team of prosecutors of International Criminal Court on the ground of the Ukraine. We have Lithuanian team who are part of a joint investigation team. We have French experts here on the ground in the Kyiv region.
The Ukrainian Prosecutor General Irina Venediktova, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you very much.
Coming up, key new developments right now in the nationwide shortage of baby formula here in the United States and why it could ease slightly in the coming weeks. Major new developments tonight in the shortage of infant formula here in the U.S., fueled in part by a recall by one of the country's largest manufacturers. CNN senior medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen is working the story for us. Elizabeth, Abbott just says it has now reached a deal with the FDA on steps to resume production at its shuttered plant. How soon could the plant start production again, and how quickly could this help alleviate this huge crisis?
Wolf, this is clearly a step in the right direction. However, it is still going to be weeks, possibly many, many weeks, until we start seeing products come out of this plant. So this is a consent decree between the FDA and Abbott Nutrition. This is the way that Abbott terms it. It creates a pathway to reopen the facility. It doesn't reopen the facility. It just creates a pathway for doing it. So after FDA approval, which they still don't have, they could restart the site, could, within 2 weeks. And then it takes 6 to 8 weeks beyond that before the product is available in stores. So, you know, there's the FDA is still trying to get formula from other companies to sort of ramp up production, import formula. All of those steps are going to help, but I don't think we're going to be seeing any immediate change to this shortage anytime very soon.
There's also a major announcement, Elizabeth, from the American Academy of Pediatrics. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, so Wolf, I don't know if you remember from when your children were little, but the American Academy of Pediatrics has always said, do not give cow's milk to a child until their first birthday. They've been very strong on that. But you know what? Now, because of the shortage, and I want to be clear, there's no medical or health change here, but just because of the shortage, they're making a change to that recommendation. Now they're saying that whole cow's milk, quote, may be an option for many babies older than 6 months. If your baby was using regular or is using regular formula, not a specialty formula, They say after 6 months, it could be an option for them to go to whole cow's milk. The AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, very clear, this is not ideal and that a baby should only be doing this for a brief period of time. They don't define what that means. American Academy of Pediatrics also saying that toddler formula is safe for a few days for children who are close to their first birthday. This is a very dramatic departure for the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Well, certainly is, Elizabeth Cohn, with all the late-breaking developments. Thank you very much. There are also some dramatic developments on this, the eve of the Pennsylvania primaries, including a top Democratic Senate candidate recovering now from a stroke. Our congressional correspondent, Jessica Dean, is on the scene for us tonight. Jessica, give us all the latest.
Well, Wolf, we're standing just outside the hospital where Lieutenant Governor and Democratic Senate candidate John Fetterman is recovering after that stroke. And I spoke in her first national interview since the stroke. I spoke with his wife, Giselle Fetterman, earlier today, and she walked us through what she saw on Friday when the Lieutenant Governor had this stroke. Take a listen.
We were on our way to an event, and I just noticed a second of change in him. And it's scary that it's that quickly that you could have missed it, right? If I wasn't paying attention, I would have missed it. But I noticed a small sign. His mouth just moved just slightly. And my gut just, I knew something was up. And we immediately, we were in town, luckily, very close to Lancaster and to the hospital and came straight here.
Just an amazing story, something so small she noticed, but it ultimately could have saved his life. He is doing great, she says, and is expected to make a full recovery. But, Wolf, he will not be out of the hospital by tomorrow, primary day here in Pennsylvania. Again, he is the front runner in that Democratic primary. He was supposed to be in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Instead, Giselle will be there making remarks. She said we might see him virtually, but he will be still here at the hospital recovering. Turning now to the Republican side of this primary, we are seeing a surging Kathy Barnett. She is really coming out of nowhere in these last few days and weeks to really compete heavily with Dr. Mehmet Oz, of course, the celebrity doctor who has been endorsed by former President Trump, and Dave McCormick, the former hedge fund CEO who'd really been duking it out in millions of dollars of ads over the Pennsylvania airwaves. And now we've seen Barnett really surging. We do know that Oz is having a town hall and rally with former President Trump tonight. But again, we will see how this all plays out on primary night here in Pennsylvania, Wolf, tomorrow night.
CNN's Jessica Dean on the seat for us. Jessica, thank you very much. And stay with CNN tomorrow night for our CNN special live coverage of the midterm primaries. It all starts right after the Situation Room, 7 p.m. Eastern. Up next, even as the country reels from the racist Buffalo massacre, there were more shootings and more deaths all across the United States this past weekend. We have new details when we come back. The hate-fueled mass shooting in Buffalo was the deadliest, but not the only shocking incident of gun violence over the weekend here in the United States. We're getting new information right now about a shooting at a Taiwanese church gathering yesterday in Southern California that left one person dead and five injured. Investigators now say the suspect in custody planted incendiary devices around the church and changed some doors closed. They say he's a Chinese native who was upset about China-Taiwan relations. Since Friday night, at least eight people have been killed and dozens injured in shootings across the United States, including at least five dead in Chicago and two dead in Houston, as well as dozens injured in those cities, as well as in Milwaukee and Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And to our viewers, thanks very much for watching. I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room. Aaron Burnett out front starts right now.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.